Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 188 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? As always, I thank you for listening. I got to tell you, tonight I was at the Comedy Store and Joe Rogan had a bit about the dysfunction of our presidents, not just Trump, but just our whole presidential system. It was absolutely hilarious. So if you're a comedy fan, if you get a chance to see Joe Rogan, you got to go see what Joe's doing right now. It was brilliant. It was funny. And it's one of the reasons I love being a comic, because I'm around some of the funniest people in the world. Harlan Williams was also on the show. If you're not familiar with Harlan, you have to find Harlan Williams. Just, there is no way to explain what he does. Harlan's brain operates on a different frequency than the rest of us, and it is hilarious. I love him. Old friends. Funny friends. Great show. Great times. I love my job. So this week, I expected it to be quick and easy. Not much to talk about. I was trying to avoid getting involved in the Twitter nonsense over this wrestling video by Baby Hands Trump. So by now, you've seen it. Trump, an old video of him from his wrestling days with Vince McMahon, beating up Vince McMahon. They replaced Vince McMahon's head with CNN. He retweeted it, called it fraud news, was proud of himself for a fake beatdown on nonsense. So anyway, my problem with this is giving it any credibility, right? So, you know, it's all a waste of time. CNN said this is promoting violence against reporters. Like, no, it's not. It's just some guy who's never beat up anyone in his life taking some pride in some stupid shit or whatever. Trump's a bully and a punk. And it's a waste, right? But no, we have to get caught up in it. See, this is why Mark Twain said, you never fight with stupid people, because they drag you down to their level and beat you with experience. And this is a perfect example. CNN took the bait. They took the bait to the point that they actually went to investigate where this video came from. Excuse me. And it came from Reddit, and some Reddit guy, Han Solo something, I'm not even going to look up the full name. And it turns out the guy who posted the video also posted a video of CNN reporters listing who was Jewish, had a bunch of anti-Semitic stuff, called black people niggers, calls gay people faggots, and so on. And he apologized. Once CNN found him out, he did the bullshit apology, right? And this is something I tweeted, and I said, the left needs to learn how to do this. You get the worst of the worst of people. You do something like this, then you tweet a bullshit apology. But anyway, here's my point. CNN, why are you wasting time investigating this nonsense, battling this nonsense? You know, why don't you investigate something that we'd really like to know? Like more investigation into the Russian ties before Trump meets with Putin. Or maybe you can investigate why Paul Ryan just hates old people and sick people. Something we care about. Okay, this is, yeah. Really? Is that news that Trump follows a guy on Twitter who's a racist and a homophobe? And you're talking about, you know, the gang of deplorables who they deny exist. And the funniest thing about this, and once again, this is where the right, and I got some news about this terms left and right, which I personally love. I think it's hilarious. But anyway, the right is great at playing victim, right? They always say left victim, you liberals play victim, blah, blah, blah. Let anything happen. So now they're saying that somehow CNN is persecuting the guy and threatening the guy for his free speech. And, you know, because CNN said that they could publish this guy's identity. And the right wing is just, this appears to be vengeance. Really? Vengeance? Isn't that what you said that Donald Trump is doing? Like last week, they were saying, if you go after Trump, he's going after you. Now they're saying CNN, this is vengeance. It's terrible. So anyway, that's as much time as I really want to waste on the Trump wrestling video. I mean, the fact that this is new, you know how you handle this, CNN? Completely ignore it. How much would that drive Trump crazy if you had just not commented, just completely ignored it, act like it didn't even happen, that would have driven him crazy. That would have driven his followers. They wouldn't know what to do. Try it. Try taking the high road. Speaking of taking the high road, and I'll admit, a source I wouldn't have expected it from simply because of his politics, but I got to give credit where credit's due. Kudos to Chief Justice John Roberts, who made a speech, and this was a speech to the graduating class of his son's middle school, okay? And, you know, this is what he said to the young graduates, okay? This is leaving middle school, so this is 14-year-old kids about to start high school. Chief Justice reminded the young graduates, they are privileged young men, and my advice is, quote, don't act like it. Then he said something brilliant. He said, I wish you bad luck so that you'll be conscious of the role of chance in life and understand that your success is not completely deserved and the failure of others is not completely deserved either. How beautiful is that? There was a lesson that Trump missed growing up. There's a lesson that Trump's family, all his kids and everybody else missed. Your success is not necessarily deserved, and the failure of others isn't completely deserved either. Did you hear that, Paul Ryan? Maybe poor people aren't intentionally poor. Maybe they had a few bad breaks. Maybe sick people are going broke because they actually got sick. They didn't really intend to go after some sickness entitlement, you low-life bastards. Stop and listen to Justice Roberts. Was he perfect? Maybe not. When he says something like when he advises students to introduce themselves to the people raking the leaves, shoveling the snow, or emptying the trash, hey, that's a little looking down on the staff, but that's okay. That's okay, because he is saying that they're people, so good for him. So kudos where kudos are due. Justice Roberts, beautiful speech, beautiful lesson to 14-year-old rich kids. I hope they listen. We all hope they listen. Wow. Training kids to be human. That's brilliant. Can you imagine the Trump version of that speech to 14-year-olds? That you're winners. You always win. You blah, 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 and destroy your enemies and all that bullshit, right? No. Justice Roberts, kudos to you. Now, Trump followers, okay, I'm not going to say that they're thin-skinned and dumb. Well, yeah, actually I am. This was a beautiful thing. Now, you guys know I work for NPR. I do Wait, Don't Tell Me, so you can read into that anything you want. But NPR, on the 4th of July, Independence Day, they tweeted the Declaration of Independence. They simply tweeted the entire Declaration of Independence. And the anti-Trump people got upset. This is some of the replies from Trump followers to the Declaration of Independence. Now, mind you, NPR didn't tweet an opinion. They simply put out the entire Declaration of Independence. This is some of the responses. Propaganda. Is that all you know how? Try supporting a man who wants to do something about the injustice in this country. Another one. So NPR is calling for revolution. Interesting way to condone violence while trying to sound patriotic. Your implications are clear. Let's see what else they got. This was the part that drove them crazy. It's in the Declaration of Independence. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant, is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Yeah. The Declaration of Independence, that's an attack. They see it as an attack. The right sees it as an attack. And this is what I love, because I did not know this. Man, I read and learn shit. I love that. It's a beautiful thing. Again, don't battle stupid. Stupid don't get tired. I get tired. Reading tires me out. So I think I may have heard this at some point in my life, but it's a beautiful thing. So we have, you know, the cable news, talk radio, social media, they call liberals the left. or the far left, and they're no good. And liberals disparage conservatives as creatures of the right or the far right. And we don't like each other, and there's no, eh. Do you know where the terms left and right come from? Pay attention, right wingers. From the French Revolution. We got it from France. France, you know, home of the freedom fries. Yeah. In the French Revolution, members of the National Assembly sitting to the right of the body's president wanted to preserve the king's power, okay, in other words, be conservatives, and those on the left sought to limit him, sought to be progressive, okay? The left in 19th century France, the left strove for liberalism, secularization, and social and economic reform. The right stood for monarchy, the church, the army, and top-down republicanism. We got it from the French. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So the next time the somebody on the right, and I'm okay with learning stuff from the French. The French do it well. The French got style. The French food is delicious. French women, beautiful. French style, perfect. So I'm okay with the French. But the right, they hate the French. Freedom fries. Remember that nonsense? Remember that stupidity? Anyway, just when they go left and right, it came from the French. I don't know why, but I love that. Oh yeah, I know why. Because it would bug the shit out of them. Don't worry about it. It's written. It's hidden. What did Chris Rock say? Hide it in the books. This is information. It's hidden. They'll never see it, but you know it. I know it, and it's fun to know. Knowledge. You can't beat stupid. Try all you want. Can't beat stupid. So, while I'm on the topic of left and right, here's a problem. And this is a problem that ultimately, this is what happens partially. Well, yeah, this is what happens because we put party above people. Okay. And because the left and right cannot work together, because any compromise is considered failure. Instead, we'll just go with failure. So, right across the road, right across the bridge from Mar-a-Lago, you know Mar-a-Lago, where Trump hangs out, his private golf course where he goes on vacation every weekend. Just across the bridge, the Palm Beach heroin addicts like to get high in public places. They like to shoot up in the supermarket bathroom or maybe at the coffee shop, because if they accidentally overdose, there's someone around to call an ambulance. This goes back to what I talked about last week about the United States leading the world in overdoses and heroin being so popular right now. South Florida, okay, near some of Florida's priciest real estate, Palm Beach, paramedics responded to 5,000 overdose calls last year, nearly 600 of them fatal. Now, you know, Trump went around the Appalachian, the Midwest, talked about heroin, prescription, painkillers, blah, blah, blah. Never really just climbed over the fence from his own personal golf course. Now, here's the problem in South Florida. Palm Beach is dubbed the recovery capital of America because they have so many drug treatment centers and sober living homes. Now, let me tell you, I know something about this, having been in recovery for a long time. So sober living homes, the good part is when it's somebody runs a home, they have beds for drug addicts or alcoholics, and they take them to meetings and they have some kind of treatment plan and they have rules. So if you're getting loaded, they kick you out and so on and so forth. And, you know, the principle in the program is one addict helping another, one alcoholic helping another. And you're starting over. You're building your life. You don't know what to do. Treatment rather than prison, et cetera, et cetera. Sober living is a good idea. The problem with sober living, and this is the problem they're having in South Florida and a lot of other places, it's unregulated. You don't have to have a license or any training or anything else to open a sober living home. You basically have a house with some beds in it. They've even gone to court and said that they're allowed to do this. They had some fights with the NIMBYs. The people didn't want it in their backyard, and they won the right to build these or have these sober living homes. So what's happened in South Florida, real estate crashed some years ago, as we all know. Houses became cheap. people bought these houses and they decided to build recovery homes. Now, here's the problem. Obamacare insurance, one of the things said that the insurance has to pay for drug recovery, particularly if you're a kid on your parents' insurance up to age 26. So you're a parent, your kid is on drugs, he, she is, you know, college age or whatever. You don't know what to do. You get all these ads, you get all this stuff from these recovery homes in South Florida. You don't know anything about it. So you send your kid down there. Well, a lot of these recovery homes are corrupt. And what they do is they take the kid in and they take the money from the insurance. And they don't care if the kid gets high. The kid relapses and comes back, the insurance pays again. They're also involved in scams for sending the kids to get urine tests, charging anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000 for urine tests. There's a case where one family was billed $300,000 for daily urine tests for 6 months. You don't need to do daily urine tests. There's another kickback where the kid gets loaded. They send him to a detox center, right? Now, a detox is some kind of medical facility. Again, this stuff is shaky at best, not regulated. So you go to this place, they do a piss test. They send you into a group meeting. They give you a massage or something like that. You know, you spend a couple of days in bed and they send you back. Now, they charge thousands of dollars for this detox. And the detox place is kicking money back to the sober living home for sending people there. And in worst cases, there are some sober living homes. And one guy got arrested. He's going to jail for 27 years where they would actually give drugs to the kids in the sober living home and let them get high, take them to the detox, get kickback money from the detox. This bastard had women hooked on drugs, prostituting themselves. I mean, this guy was a true lowlife, but there's a lot of them that's an extreme. They're not that bad, but they're not that good. Then you have the high dollar, the $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 a month recovery places that have jacuzzis and a chef and yoga, which is not always bad. Sometimes it works. I'm not saying that all of those are corrupt, but I'm saying Florida has a big problem with it because people get sent to Florida. Florida has a long history of recovery homes, blah, 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 blah. So now here's the problem. This is where it's a left and right thing. So Obamacare says that the insurance companies have to pay, and the insurance companies are not happy about this, and they're pulling out because a lot of this is straight up insurance fraud. The Trump Care plan says we ain't paying a dime, nothing, not a penny for drug recovery. And if you want drug recovery on your health care plan, you're going to have to pay extra for it. And which, you know, they're going to charge you a fortune or probably just turn it down, etc. Now, this is what I'm talking about placing party above problems. So what would I'm no expert, but I do have some experience with this. But to me, the solution seems simple. Again, you've heard me tell a joke about my car insurance being better than my health insurance. Let the insurance companies handle this like they do auto insurance. So your kid wants to go to a recovery home. The insurance company has a right to inspect the recovery home to make sure it's a real recovery home, not just a flop house. And if it's a flop house, they're not going to pay. Just like when you take your car gets hit, they have to approve the body shop that fixes it. Okay. Now they'll give you a check. And if you don't get your car fixed, they're not going to pay to fix it again. They're like, look, we paid to fix it. You didn't take it to the body shop. Because sometimes people take the money and say, well, I'm going to pocket this money and drive a dented car. The insurance company's like, that's fine if that's what you want to do, but we ain't paying to fix it again. So that's what they should do with these recovery places. Let the insurance companies inspect the place. Make sure it's real recovery before your kid goes there. You know, and you can't keep going. I don't know how many chances you get. I don't know if it's 2 or 3. I think like in sports, I think in baseball, it was 3 chances. Maybe that's it. 3 strikes and you're out. I don't know. I'm not an expert there. Let's talk to some experts in the field of recovery and see. But it can't be unlimited, because if it's unlimited, they're just going to keep taking the money. Okay. So you can't do that. Again, if the Senate, Congress was willing to compromise, they could find a solution for this other than unlimited payment or zero payment. The solution, as anything else, is somewhere in between. Keep pretending that heroin addiction is not a problem. Keep playing with it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. it's destroying a generation. It's not just destroying a generation. Heroin's destroying young people. But the opioid thing, you know, like I said it before, is race involved? Yes. Yes, because this is the same as the crack epidemic, only that was a horrible criminal thing, and this is a healthcare issue. But I'm fine with that. If this is what it takes to make addiction a healthcare issue, for them to notice it, to look at it and treat it, that's fine. But let's treat it with some common sense, okay? So you can't just have these flop houses. And Florida is like, we're full. Florida doesn't want residents coming in for their drug houses, for their recovery and sober living houses from other states. But that's, they can figure that out themselves. It's big business. It's a lot of fraud. It's a horrible situation. You can't ignore it. But they will. They will. They'll blame it all on Obama. And they'll say, this is why we can't have drug treatment, and then they'll give zero treatment, and they'll put drug addicts in jail because private prisons make a lot of money. Ain't that right, Mr. Sessions, Attorney General? It's a horrible situation. We'll see. Now, speaking of horrible situations, Hobby Lobby. Yeah, I like to go out on a high note. Watching Hobby Lobby suffer, to me, that's a high note. You probably remember Hobby Lobby. They're the ones who went to the Supreme Court to make sure that they didn't have to pay for contraception and women's health care. Those women don't deserve health care. Contraception, you know, in the big argument, when does life begin? We don't care. We don't want it. Sinners. You know, well, apparently when Hobby Lobby was reading the Ten Commandments, they skipped the one that said, thou shalt not steal. Now, it's interesting. That one's really not up for interpretation. That doesn't have to do with health or when does life begin or conception, etc. That was pretty straightforward. Don't steal. So Hobby Lobby, they missed that one. What they've been doing is trying to deal in stolen Iraqi artifacts. Now, maybe that's it. Maybe because they're Iraqi. Maybe it's thou shalt not steal except from Muslims. Hobby Lobby got caught in an agreement to purchase 5,500 artifacts in December 2010 for $1.6 million. There were a bunch of red flags. The packages had shipping labels that described their contents as ceramic tiles. Yeah, they were Iraqi artifacts. They knew they were Iraqi artifacts. Anytime you buy something and it's in a box labeled something else, you know there's some crime involved. Okay, so Hobby Lobby has to pay a $3 million federal fine and forfeit thousands of the Iraqi artifacts smuggled from the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, so that whole, you know, we're better than you, we don't sin thing. Yeah, you might want to check that thou shalt not steal. Just throwing it out there, maybe that's a sin, you know, because it's in the top 10. Just saying, Hobby Lobby, you're full of shit. That's it. I love you guys. The NBA players are bouncing all over the place. My Clippers are solidly in the middle. They've changed players, and they won't change. It's going to be another ordinary season for everyone in the NBA except Golden State. So they're all just shuffling. This is like in chess when you know you're beat, but you're still moving. You're just moving pieces, but you know your ass is done because you got a bishop and your opponent has two bishops, two rooks, a knight, and a queen, and you got a bishop, six pawns, and a king. You know it's over, but you keep moving. That's the NBA. The NBA is just moving. Moving pawns, and they got a bishop. Actually got a queen. They got a powerful player. They got the king, LeBron. They got the king. But that's all. Not enough. Golden State still got the dominant super team, but it'll be fun to watch. Baseball, we're going into the All-Star break. About to head into the dog days. It's going to get interesting. The Dodgers got a great team. Houston's got an unbelievable team. Yankees are making noise again. It's always fun when the Yankees are making noise. We'll see how it goes. Me, I'm going to be making noise next weekend in Atlanta. The 13th through the 15th, I'm going to be at the Punchline. No, ooh, damn, I don't even know where I'm going to be. That's how much I travel. Forgive me. The 13th to the 15th, I'm going to be at Parlor Live in Bellevue, Washington, which is just outside of Seattle. And the following weekend, I'm going to be in Atlanta. But I'll talk to you before then. I'll talk to you before Atlanta. I should talk to you before Seattle. It's going to be great. I love it up there. We're going to have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. This is Alonzo asking, who's paying attention? You are.